This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Aston Villa went through a tricky spell, came out of it just before the break. What are you expecting from them on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, we played them last year. We played them in preseason. We didn't have our best matches in either moments. I think that they have quality on the pitch. They're very organized, especially with the way they defend. And I think that's the thing that's gotten them out of their tough spell in the beginning of the season, is that they've been defending really well and very organized, specifically against the ball. And they can be a threat on set pieces and in transition moments. So it'll be a tight match, I'm sure of that. It will be an intensive match, and we will have to be very intelligent, specifically when we're in possession, on how we balance out protecting the opponent from getting into transition moments. And then, you know, I think at Elland Road, the one thing we will want to do is really go after the game, to be aggressive, to use our crowd, to play with intensity, to play with speed, to play with power, and to play with intelligence. That will certainly be a big part of what we try to achieve on the day.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and your host. Joining me for a continual rebirth after the international break, Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome
Hello,
back.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. England's previous game before this international break we were at, and that was enough to put me off this international
football
break
forever.
So I was lying very low. Did you see anything of it?
I saw a little bit of the Germany game when England actually decided to wake up and attack, which was a bit of a novelty.
Scotland are now level A. England are now a B team, aren't they? In the world of the National League or whatever it's called.
But we're going to a World Cup and they're not, so
yeah,
England
point.
Turn up when it matters, kind of.
Good point. Villa are back now.
Thank God, I might say.
Are you looking forward to that?
I mean, ask me after the Leeds game, but yeah, on paper, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to be back at Villa Park. The gap feels like a long one, doesn't it, at the moment?
Well, you're not going to be back at Villa Park for another good few weeks.
A few weeks, yeah. Strange.
You went to the trust meeting with Mr. Purslow. Anything interesting?
I mean, nothing that hasn't really already been talked about. Obviously, with the stadium stuff, we've kind of heard a lot of the same things on that. I think he'd been down in Downing Street talking about, you know, we aren't going to break ground on the stadium until we know we've got assurances of the station and the infrastructure.
If you read between the lines, they need fans to lobby MPs. I mean, you know,
yeah,
they were brazen enough to put it actually on the website. You know, here's the template.
Yeah.
Here's the template. Can you go for it? Because that is a major situation. It's all right saying that these are the plans we're going to do, but the politics involved are another level. Also, the macroeconomics.
Yeah, it's pretty mad.
Really, I mean, you've got contractors in construction who are actually refusing to quote on some big jobs because the, you know, the cost of things is shifting all the time, that they don't want to be out of pocket after they've actually done their quote. Mm-hmm. So it's still, you know, there's still a bit of a and ahhing about this. So, yeah, anything else?
A little bit of talk of the plans for the new badge. I think you're due to go to a meeting in the next few days anyway, so they'll be sort of announcing the next round of designs, and then they'll be putting it to the fans at some point. They're being all democratic about it.
I'm actually seeing them on Monday, the latest batch, after, you know, basically telling them to the face that there wasn't enough proper options the last time. I, you know, actually kind of voiced the disappointment, and as other members of the fan consultation group did. So hopefully that's crystallized a few things in there. I mean, they've got to give us more viable options. If you want to break it down in a nutshell, you want the badge. So say, for example, the round badge. You need that rather than it be like, well, that's the only option because the others are so bad. I don't want that scenario. That's what we were presented with in the second round. The first time we had a great constructive 3-hour conversation with the designers. And then the second round was where we got to see if, let's say, first draft work. And we were shown basically two that are predictable round, and then, you know, the Villa Lion and just Aston Villa underneath, taken out of a badge or a shield. And then the rest were just a complete waste of time. It was like a 10-year-old could have knocked those up. That's what you don't want to see. You don't want to see people just pushed into that option because that's the only option. You want to see the final badge be a difficult decision, but actually be the best of, let's say, five really good badges. You want the winner to have earned the right, and
100%.
That's the bottom line on that.
And he'd sort of said, you know, this isn't going to be how it has been at the club for a while, where there's, you go around the stadium and there's all different badges and there's different things on the letterheads and tickets. When we rebrand, it will be a full rebrand and sort of.
Yeah.
They said, we're not going to half-arse it. We're not going to be tight about this, which he sort of said seemed to have been what happened in the past, where it was, we'll do a sort of half-arsed rebrand. We're going to go the whole hog, and this is going to be our identity. So he was obviously, you know, in his usual kind of bullish mood, but answered everything that was thrown at him. I think he did realise that maybe the sort of the broad strokes of where the club's going are probably positive, but he acknowledged that it has been a bit of a bumpy ride recently. I don't think any of them saw the sort of start of the season happening the way it did. I think they expected to start the season better than they have. They seem to, you know, the general view is they think they've turned a corner. Obviously, who knows when it comes to injuries. I think that's a big blow, losing, as he said, no, they're two, you know, they're A1 signings that they wanted. They were really happy with the business they did. They weren't so happy with the outgoings. I think they wanted to get more out the door to be able to bring some in, because he said there is a certain amount now of having to balance the books. A little bit of mention, which he said actually came from the player himself, that I think there was concerns from Coutinho about his own form, which is, you know, he's been in the game, he's 29, 30 now. I think he's mature enough to know when he's playing well or not. But at least they acknowledged it. You know, reasonably happy with sort of the academy, and very obviously glowing about the current state of the women's team, that have really made some, you know, good steps forward in the last few weeks and months. And then sort of the usual day to day, you know, people moaning about, you know, can I have my usual seat back when the stand's rebuilt, and minutia questions like that. But the broader narrative is that the owners are still very engaged.
Yeah, the owners are essentially waiting for this all to kick off.
and that seems to be his view, that, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle have kind of come together now. You know, there's that thing of no excuses to Jerry. You know, the training ground is as good as it's going to be and as good as any in the country. The stadium needs improvement, but he said that's going to be a big step in terms of us having the revenue to compete.
Yeah.
But things are positive. We've just got to get it, you know, got to get it right and actually execute it all now. And the final sort of thing that he mentioned, which maybe we were aware of, maybe we weren't, but he sort of basically confirmed that we essentially have the seventh most expensive squad in the league, which, reading between the lines, maybe says, well, this is where we are setting our bar at now.
Well, I mean, I've told, you know, everybody
they budgeted
this
for eighth, didn't they, last year? They want to push on.
Last couple of seasons, so they know where they are, and that is the expectation, because you don't spend to be seventh or eighth and then not
not having been in the top 10.
Exactly.
I mean, I actually think he got a pretty easy ride on that side of things. I didn't get a chance to actually ask the questions I wanted to in terms of there's all this ambition, but you finished 14th.
Don't worry, I'll sort that out for you in the next fan consultation group meeting with him.
Thanks, mate.
Which should have already happened. So I think they're waiting for smoother waters on that one. Meanwhile, while you were meeting him, I was meeting somebody who told me a lot of things that are that have happened and what's happening. First of all, if you're already subscribed to AstonVilla.wtf, you will be getting the latest edition in your inbox today. If you're not subscribed, it's free. Just get on it, because there's some revelations of what will be happening soon. The kind of stuff ahead of when the club announce it. So do check that out. Right, something for the weekend. We've digressed a bit there. This is a catch-up, essentially a pre-match for the weekend's activities. Villa are playing on Sunday away at Leeds. This isn't the normal main show. If this is the first time you've listened to this, this is a lot more of a breezy affair. Since we've been chatting away about that Purslow meeting, we'll skip the Villa minutes for this edition and kind of go straight into it. No watch sponsors this week, but we do have our new sponsor for something for the weekend. And the perfect opportunity, actually, Leeds away Sunday afternoon to go to your maybe get a bit of Sunday roast while you watch that Ooh. Game. If you're not going
open fire,
if you're not going to Elland Road, this show is brought to you by Green King, your home of pub sports, with over 900 sports pubs across the country. Green King is where the fans go, showing every broadcast game for Aston Villa, including this Leeds upcoming match. Green King show every live sporting event from BT and Sky Sports on tap. So obviously you can watch the Leeds game. But the good news is, if you haven't already signed up to their season ticket app, when you sign up, you get a free drink just for signing up. But if you use the code MOMS, M-O-M-S, you will also, as a listener of the show, get an additional £5 off when you spend £15 on drinks. So there's a nice foundation for a Sunday afternoon of Villa Leeds. What's that equate to? A couple of free beers there?
I'd
if
say
you get
so.
Your friends to download it as well using the promotion code MOMS, there could be a few free beers in the offering. So just go ahead to the app store and search season ticket and use the promo code MOMS. If you're around centre of Birmingham, there's the Malt House on the canals. We're near the arena and Sea Life Centre. That's not a bad spot, especially if it's a decent day. Up your end, Sutton Coldfield-ish way, there's the White Horse, isn't there? There's the old schoolhouse.
Yeah, that's White House Common, yeah.
Beggar's Bush as well. If you're around like the B13 area, there's the Bill's Leslie.
Yeah, you got Old House at Home on Lordswood Road, and then the legendary Garden House on the Hagley Road as you're coming out of town.
Which is more Edgbaston way. Right, on with the show. We pretty much know the injury situation. I think the good news is, despite Matty Cash's quite a serious hamstring, but he has in the past been a fast healer from them. And he was actually being interviewed on that Ben Foster show, and he said he's up and running in terms of training, doing ball work and everything. So he's not going to be a lot earlier than you would normally expect for such a hamstring injury. So he'll be back, I would say, weeks on that one.
Yes, yeah, and obviously there's the Kamara and the Carlos ones, which are going to be more long-term. We certainly won't be seeing them before.
Lucas, Dean, we're probably expecting a few weeks rather than months on that one. It's not going to do him any favours for the World Cup, because he had lost his place in the squad before he was reinstated and got injured while on international duty, so he didn't really get a chance to impress, and will obviously need games under his belt to sway getting in that World Cup squad, so he'll be keen to get back ASAP. In terms of you'd expect the Swedish left back to slot straight in.
Augustinsson will make his debut, yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, I think Augustinsson will play. It's just a logical choice, and he plays similar to Lucas Digne, so you're not losing too much of that kind of...
Well, he's a Swedish international, isn't he? So you're bringing in a specialist. Why wouldn't you?
He plays high up, and he has a good delivery. Yeah. It's kind of like for like. That's why he was actually specifically bought in, because of the similar style in terms of what he brings. So I'd expect Young to carry on deputising for Cash. When I say deputising, I think Cash would have to win his place back, because...
Young's been one of our best performers, hasn't he, last few weeks?
And he's definitely makes you feel a bit more...
solid?
Confident about the defence.
Yeah.
So apart from those injuries that we already knew about, it's more of the defensive side of things, but there was encouraging signs against Southampton that we shouldn't be too concerned, because it depends on the left-back, really. As long as he hits the ground running, then...
Well, he'll have had a little bit of time, won't he, to be to get prepared for it. It's not like he's been thrown in the day before.
But in terms of the task of going to Leeds, I mean, some bookies have got us 3-1 for the away win, so nobody's expecting this.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But what I will say is, in terms of away performances, I mean, we haven't picked up one point yet in three games. But what you saw against Manchester City and Southampton was a way of playing, a lot more resolute, pragmatic way. We keep using the word pragmatic.
Steely,
that suits picking up points away. So that's, people are writing us off just because of our away record, simply. Also, Leeds, pretty decent home record so far. Out of three games, 1-2, drawn 1, and they've beaten Wolves and Chelsea in those two wins. They've done bugger all away from home as well. So it's a tough test in terms of, just on the basic facts of Villa, haven't picked up a point away from home. Leeds are doing pretty well at Elland Road. But sorry, going back to what I was saying, I think if we were talking betting, I would be considering them for an accumulator, just because from what we've seen the last two games, that's the perfect way to play away from home. There's no problems with our attacking formation in terms of injuries. So we just need these players to turn up for once, Coutinho to get back on it, and
or Buendia is called upon.
I'd like to see Watkins get in the box a bit more. When he's in the team, it's like, thank God we've got him, because there's so much he brings to the party. But also at the same time, we ask him to do too much, and it would be good to see an out and out striker. But it's a problem when you play that one up front. That one has to do so much more normal than the normal striker.
And hopefully, you've got McGinn back after a pretty successful international break with Scotland, and he'll be, you'd hope, buoyant and maybe carrying a little bit of form.
Yeah.
Same with, Ramsey, who had a reasonably good international break with England and with the 21s.
Yeah, because McGinn, not the greatest against Manchester City. Bit of a poor first half against Southampton, but a definite improvement in the second half. And obviously with the Scotland, so the momentum hopefully will continue, and they'll hopefully have a run of form.
Teams away from home, generally, I think the sample size is small, but away teams have only won 23% of their games away this season, which is a big drop from the average last season, or that's what the last five, which is about 35. So generally, going away from home at the moment seems to be a bit harder than it has been.
Well, I think the crowds are getting more into... I mean, if you remember the stats that we used to read out on this
lockdown, it completely
kind
reversed.
Kind of balanced things up. But so we're getting to a return of more traditional returns as a home team and an away team. I mean, if you go back to the last few years, well, let's take in a couple of decades, actually. If you go back to like 96, remember when we beat them 3-0 in the cup final? We actually played them the month before and beat them 3-0 as well. A trivia question, one for the listeners and also for you, Mr. Budd. Who scored Villa's goals in the Premier League game at the 3-0 win a month before the League Cup final?
February 96, York scored, didn't he?
Yep.
He drilled one past. It would have been Lukic, wouldn't it? I think in goal for Leeds that day. Did Gary Charles get a goal?
No.
It wasn't Gary. No, sorry, Charles scored against Southampton. That was the 3-0 win.
Stick to the Leeds April. Game.
I'm thinking out loud. York got two.
Correct.
And was it Alan Wright?
It was. Very well done. Very well done, Mr. Budd.
I can remember Alan Wright's goal.
It's a game you completely forget about because all your memory is
the cup
you store the cup final 3-0 in.
And then I remember the season after we played him in the league on the Saturday, and then I think we played him in midweek in the League Cup and won both of those as well.
Yeah, within 4 days of each other. From that 3-0 win in the league in Feb 96 to the end of 2000, we'd won 9 games, drawn 3, and only lost 1. So losing 1 game in 13 games against Leeds, we had their number, essentially. I mean, I remember going to that cup final thinking, there's no way we're losing this.
No, the disparity between the teams on that day was just miles
but,
apart.
But since December 2000, we had one win in the next 10 games against them. And
well, that's when they got the money, didn't it? Well, they spent the money they didn't have, but that's when they sort of had their little upsurge under O'Leary and Risdale.
But these 10 games, I mean, do include, there was obviously a big gap of 12 years once they got relegated. And the next 10 games do include a few games in the Championship. And they did have our number in the Championship because we only beat them once. We only beat them once in 6 Championship encounters. So they won 2 of those, so they had the slight edge in the Championship. But recently, actually at Elland Road, we've won our last 2 games there. So that's another thing why I think the odds of 3-1 for a Villa win are not taking in Villa's 2 recent performances and also the fact that we've beaten them twice at Elland Road in our last 2 trips. But overall, in Premier League history, this is a rare team that we've actually won more than. Because obviously we've been pretty diabolical in the last decade or so that we've allowed teams like Southampton to have beaten us in more head-to-heads in the Premier League era. But I'm kind of reasonably confident about this.
I'd like to think we've sort of turned a corner. Gerrard's mentality has certainly changed in his approach to the team. I don't think we're going to go there and be gung-ho and make
chance
2 fullbacks
that.
Bombing on and all that. I think we'll be solid and we'll try and nick the win. But I think if that's the plan, I think we're perfectly capable of doing it because you look at our firepower and it's like, as long as we don't concede, you'd fancy us to score against anyone in the league.
Well, Leeds have won just once in their last 10 Premier League home games against Aston Villa. And that was back in 2002-2003 season. That stat alone suddenly provides you with false confidence.
Yeah, enter Aston Villa.
Unfortunately, despite what I've mentioned of winning the last 2 away games at Leeds, we've never managed to win 3 on the trot at Elland Road. Although I think it's pretty rare, unless you're one of the top 5 or 6, to actually beat teams three seasons consecutively away from home. So I don't know how much credence you can put to that. So if we do it, it'd be quite an achievement, I think.
It'd be a great time to do it at the moment. It would really sort of, dare we say, kickstart the season? No, so it's a really important run of games this now we're going into. They need to get it right.
I think there was some, when Bielsa went and Jesse Marsh came in, there was a train of thought that he wouldn't last more than a season. But his players seem to like him. He seems to be a decent chap and he's kind of bonded a team. And I think the fans have started to get behind him now.
Yeah, I mean, they were really, not necessarily against him, but it was very much when we played them in that 3-0 win last year, they were kind of like still pining over Bielsa leaving, weren't they? And the team themselves were fucking awful.
Yeah, and you're obviously going to get people use the word transition a lot, but when you're leaving such a distinct managerial style, there's definitely going to be a transition involved there. I mean, there's obviously he's picked for a reason, so it's not completely dissimilar the way they approach games in terms of, high energy and the kind of commitment. But at the same time, I mean, when we played at Villa Park last year, I mean, I remember Daniel James actually being all right. And apparently that was one of the only decent games he had for them.
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a live wire, wasn't he, in the Villa Park game?
Because he was asked to play that central role to cover for Patrick Bamford's long-term injury. He prefers a wing, no doubt. But interestingly, I mean, he got farmed out to Fulham. I mean, you know, they spent reportedly $26.2 million off Manchester United for Daniel James. And then within a season, I mean, there was talk of Spurs' interest. I don't know if that was just to get the Fulham deal over the line. But he's now at loan to Fulham, and allegedly there's a $20 million permanent option for them. So up stepped Rodrigo, who I thought was more of a midfielder, but he's playing at the top now of a, it's 4-2-3-1 essentially, isn't it? And he's scored, the Spanish players scored four in their last five games. And when you consider that he scored six last season in an entire season and seven in the entire season before, to have four in five suggests that he's, even though 31, he seems to be living life as more of a central striker.
Well, they just seem to look like a team who've kind of starting to get their shit together under a new manager, which obviously can take time, but they've, you know, Ellen Road's always a difficult place to go because obviously the crowd are on top of you anyway, and it's one of those where you've kind of got to go and battle and grind and do all the sort of the dirty work, knowing that actually they can hurt you, but I still think at the back Leeds are there to be got at. You just got to be brave.
I mean, you look at Leeds and after last season, and you think, is it fair to contemplate, will their role this season be a relegation contender, or would you expect them to actually be mid-table?
I'd expect them to be sort of just above that. I don't think they'll be sort of pulling up trees in the top half of the table like they did the year they came up, but they shouldn't be in too much trouble. But you never
know.
When you
say just above that, what are you referring to? Mid-table or relegation battle?
Sort of 13th, 14th part of the world. Yeah. Not in the shit, but just above that.
Yeah, I would probably say that is fair in terms of expectations after things got a bit hairy last season and they stayed up on the last day.
They were in free fall, weren't they, when we played them? They were leaking goals and weren't looking like scoring them. They just about got it done in the end on the last day.
But if they carry on their home form after Villa beat them, then they should be all right. And, you know, they've got that. They're a team that when it's going right, you've got the crowd and just the way they play. They'll give any. I mean, they gave Chelsea a torrid time and beat them 3-0.
That's the thing. You go to Ellen Road and you're not on it at the Dan. You're not up for it. You'll get turned over, whoever you are.
I mean, I was impressed by Dean Smith, actually. When they came up, the first that game at Villa Park, where they absolutely blitzed us, let's make no bones about it. It was like...
Yeah, they demolished us, didn't they? It was three and it could have been more.
It was nasty. And then we went to their patch and Dean Smith knew that you've got to break their momentum because it's relentless. And we were kicking it into row Z, breaking up play at every opportunity. Horrible to watch, but it was like perfect plan. You know, snatch the 1-0.
Attritional, and snatch the goal. And we always looked relatively comfortable defending our lead, didn't we?
Because every time the ball went out of play, it didn't go out of play like just crawls over the line or goes into the first row. It was going almost out the stadium because they were just basically taking the clock down. And it was like almost like they were learning from another sport how to run the clock down and break momentum throughout the whole game.
Game management, which is something we've accused Villa of being pretty shonky at for quite a while.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be switched on because it will need a very disciplined performance to get anything out of this. I mean, if we meet fire with fire, that can go any which way. And I don't think at the moment...
We're not made to be going into firefight games. I think Southampton showed the way that we're probably going to be better in the sort of short term.
Yeah, you build from the back in terms of getting the back. I'm not saying playing from the back. I'm talking about getting your defensive core and set up right, and then you can start to open up a bit more as the results rack up and the confidence returns. So with that said. Mom's pulls panels result. What are you going for here?
I'm going to be brave and I'm going to go for an away win.
Lump on.
A sneaky one, a 1-0 away win.
Yeah, I'm going to sit on the fence here. I'm going to go for a score draw. I think there'll be goals. So score draw for that. But then I've got an aching feeling we're going to do them. But it's just that extra man being injured and the unknown quantity of the mysterious, if he plays, the Swedish left back.
Who's going to score the winner, you mean?
Well, you heard it here first, if that happens.
Augustinsson's going to score straight from a corner.
Right. Since you went first, I'll let you have that one. And just to be different, I will say the score draw. But yeah, I've got a feeling about this, but let's not shout it out too loud. Right. That's something for the weekend. Nothing else to add. So we will get more into what's coming October in the next edition. And please do, by the way, there's two Match Club live sessions to come with these two away fixtures. So please do join us as a My Old Man Said member, as well as getting access to Match Club, where we will be meeting and following the game live. At Leeds and also Forest, which follows, you get access to ad-free versions of the main podcast, plus extra shows as well, which will be popping up over the next few days.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now that I've got proper internet back in... my place after a
hurrah for technology
switch. So please do go to myomensaid.com and click on the membership link there for more details. And actually, subscriptions now are billed on the day that you signed up. Before, it was like you would sign up and then you would be charged again at the start of the month. So if, for example, if you signed up at the back end of the month, you would be charged again like within a week for, but now it's like on a month-to-month proper, you know, subscription basis. So that's a good improvement for any new My Old Man Said members. Also, as I said, some fresh info in terms of Aston Villa coming your way. So make sure you're subscribed to astonvilla.wtf to get it there first, but we will be elaborating on that in future podcasts as well. Don't forget to follow the show on Spotify or Apple if you listen on there. Drop us a review as well, you know, of the main show if you have the time. And follow us on socials as well, at My Old Man Said, pretty much across the board. Right, that's all we've got.
See ya.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.